sarvasamthibhyo datta bhagavat atmanam govikartha sabhat shuraha tani murdho vimordhadihi. Ladies. Anam charu rasam tebhyo datva bhagavat arpanam govi purattha vasura govi purattha sabhakshura tani anam charu rasam tebhyo foodstuff. Cha also. Uru rasam. Highly delicious. Tebhyaha. Unto the brahmanas. Dattva. After supplying. Bhagavat arpanam. Which was first offered to the personality of Godhead. Cows. Vipra. Brahmanas. Artha. Purpose. Asavaha. Purpose of living. Shuraha. All the valiant kshatriyas. Kane muho. Offered obeisances. Bhovi. Touching the ground. Mordabihi, with their heads. Translation, thereafter they offered the brahmanas highly delicious foodstuffs, first offered to the personality of Godhead, and offered their respectful obeisances by touching their heads to the ground. They lived perfectly by protecting the cows and the brahmanas. Purport. By Srila Prabhupada, the behavior exhibited by the descendants of the Yadu, by descendants of Yadu, in the pilgrimage site of Prabhas, was highly cultured and exactly to the point of human perfection. The perfection of human life is attained by following three principles of civilization, protecting the cows, maintaining Brahminical culture, and, above all, becoming a pure devotee of the Lord. Without becoming a devotee of the Lord, one cannot perfect one's human life. The perfection of human life is to be elevated to the spiritual world, where there is no birth, no death, no disease, and no old age. That is the highest perfectional aim of human life. Without this aim, any amount of material advancement and so-called comforts can only bring the defeat of the human form of life. Paragraph. Brahmanas and Vaishnavas do not accept any foodstuff which is not first offered to the personality of Godhead. Foodstuff offered to the Lord is accepted by the devotees as the mercy of the Lord. After all, the Lord supplies all kinds of foodstuff, both to the human being and to other animals. A human being must be conscious of the fact that all foodstuffs, namely grains, vegetables, milk, water, etc., the prime necessities of life, are supplied for mankind by the Lord, and such foodstuffs cannot be manufactured by any scientist or materialist in the laboratory or factory established by human effort. The intelligent class of men are called brahmanas, and those who have realized the absolute truth in his supreme personal feature are called Vaishnavas. But both of them accept foodstuffs, which are the remnants of sacrifice. Sacrifice is ultimately meant to satisfy the Yajna Purush Vishnu. In Bhagavad Gita 3.13, it is said that one who accepts foodstuffs as the remnants of sacrifice is freed from all sinful reactions, and one who cooks foodstuffs for maintenance of his body takes in all kinds of sins which lead only to suffering. The foodstuffs prepared by the Yadus at Prabhasa, pilgrimage site, to offer to the bona fide brahmanas there were all offered to the personality of Godhead Vishnu. The Yadus offered their sincere obeisances by touching their heads to the ground. The Yadus, or any enlightened family in Vedic culture, are trained for attainment of human perfection by total cooperation of service between the different divisions of social orders. Paragraph. The word Uru, Rasam, is also significant here. Hundreds of delicacies can be prepared simply by the combination of grains, vegetables, and milk. All such preparations are in the mode of goodness and therefore may be offered to the personality guided, as stated in Bhagavad Gita 9.26. The Lord accepts only foodstuffs which are within the range of fruits, flowers, leaves, and liquids, provided they are offered in complete devotional service. Devotional service is the only criterion for a bona fide offering to the Lord. The Lord assures that he positively eats such foodstuffs offered by the devotees. So, judging from all sides, the Yadus were perfectly trained, civilized persons, and their being cursed by the Brahmana sages was only by the desire of the Lord. The whole incident was a warning to all concerned that no one should behave lightly with Brahmanas and Vaishnavas. At the end of the chapter, end of the Bhaktivedanta purports for this chapter, the Lord's pastimes out of Vrindavan. Oma jnana timarandasya tananjana salakaya chakshur miritam yena tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. The first thing I'd like to comment on is the repetition of this word foodstuffs. I noticed when reading the word for word, anam, the first word in the verse, foodstuff. Now, in the English language, we're not used to using that. I'm not used to reading it or using it. It's a Prabhupadism. I'm going to tell a little Prabhupada story. Periodically, Prabhupada would visit in New York, and one of the things that he did when visiting New York is he would check on what at that time was ISKCON Press, because before the BBT was formed in Los Angeles, it was all ISKCON. And with his acumen and predictability of problems may come, if properties of ISKCON became compromised in some legal scuffle, he didn't want his intellectual property to be compromised, and so BBT was formed. But prior to that, it was one umbrella. ISKCON. There's only one ISKCON. And when he came to New York, because the ISKCON Press was started in Boston and then shifted to New York, so he would check and see how they're doing at all the different departments, because he was the Bhaktivedanta intellectual property. So he was concerned. I remember very specifically one of the things that he checked on was, how was Pradyumna doing? And Pradyumna was lazy intelligent, with little emphasis on lazy. Were you there as a painter at that time?
Pradyumna had his little room right off the park. There's no windows there. So they always see him a lot.
Okay. Well, here's my memory. Correct my memory if you remember differently than I remember, but he was lagging behind. And Prabhupada was furious. So one night, he was like months behind in his making of synonyms. That was one of the services, synonyms for his books. And besides being furious, Prabhupada did months worth of lagging behind in one night. So some of these words, I don't know that how the sequence went, but word for word foodstuff as anam, it's a Prabhupadaism. It wasn't a guessing, it wasn't a Pradyumnaism, it was a Prabhupadaism, because we're not used to hearing, I'm not used to hearing that term, but it's in the verse so many times, foodstuff, foodstuff, foodstuff. Just a detail. Prabhupada had a very special way of saying everything, and this is one of them. One of the main messages in the purport is about foodstuff, that Brahmanas and Vaishnavas will only eat that which is offered to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That va bhagavat arpanam. That va, after supplying bhagavat arpanam, so that which has been offered by worship, arpanam, to Bhagavan is bhagavat arpanam. They gave that to the Brahmanas. There's obviously there's some details where they get the ingredients and where they do the cooking, and all of those things aren't mentioned, just that the act of offering to Bhagavan with that which they prepared specifically for the Brahmanas was their way of life, and the Brahmanas were expecting that it would be offered to the Personality of Godhead, because that's a principle of Brahminical culture, to accept that which is first offered, as the reference is made to the Bhagavad Gita verse A and B. Those who eat that which is first offered to me, they're freed from sin. Those that don't eat that which is first offered to me, they're eating only sin. And so the Brahmanas would only eat that which is first offered to Vishnu, or the Personality of Godhead, Bhagavan, in loving devotion. They would only eat Vishnu Prasad. It doesn't give the detail of what deity and the procedure, but it was Vishnu Prasad that they were accepting. And this is the way of life of a Brahmana and a Vaishnava. There's a sentence in the purport I'd like to just spend a little bit of time on. It's one of the ways that the distinction between a Brahmana and a Vaishnava, because a Brahmana is accepting only prasadam offered to Vishnu, and a Vaishnava only accepts prasadam offered to Vishnu. So why two nomenclatures? What's the distinction? Sounds like one thing. So is there a distinction? What's the distinction? Here's the sentence. The intelligent class of men are called Brahmanas, and those who have realized the absolute truth in a supreme personal feature are called Vaishnavas. So the brahmanas are the intelligent class of men. And what is a sign of intelligence? One of the ways of saying the sign of intelligence is they're learned, they have studied the scripture, and that they have some understanding of Brahman, or the absolute truth. So brahmanas studying the scriptures have come to the conclusion of the absolute truth. Such brahmanas, being scholars or students of the Vedas, accept the principle, I only eat that which is offered to the Supreme through sacrifice to Vishnu. Now there may very well be different procedures for sacrifice to Vishnu and making that which is cooked before you eat it a sacrifice unto Vishnu. We of course have our procedure we offer to a deity, or prior to there being deities it was just a guru, garanga altar, or a picture of Krishna and the spiritual master, and that's our method. And that's just fine because it's an offering unto the Supreme Lord, because the picture and the person in the picture are not different when the picture is of the Supreme Person. If the absolute nature of Krishna is his picture and he are not different. I'm pausing because I'm thinking, I'd like to ask Pushkar a question. When you're paintings of Krishna, is part of your meditation, you're being given a service to create a manifestation of Krishna that's not different than Krishna. Is that part of your meditation? Sometimes?
Vasudev Sarvamiti.
Vasudev Sarvamiti.
Yeah.
Akshavidra is one of the incarnations. And the Prabhupada, when he was asked about what name, what category the artists are, and he said, Puja, Aradhanam.
So, my question specifically
is, trying to say we're just sutras.
Is that part of your meditation?
Yeah, hopefully, sometimes.
Sometimes. It's a gift. I mean, I don't want to embarrass you, but you've been given a gift that many people don't have. I mean, our kirtan singers have a gift too, and that's a nice gift. But it's a way of making that which is, you know, the hand or the voice or something, making that which is not material manifest. So the meditation makes a big difference. And certain of our artists, I won't mention any names, certain of our artists are very gifted. And it says something about the gift that Krishna has given them and to use it in service to Krishna. That's our life. So I'll get back to the purport. Yeah, yeah. Jewels, the mind. It's the scripture, the statement is a scriptural fact, and then there's connecting consciousness with the scriptural fact. That's practice and practice and practice, and that's our life, is practicing under the direction of scripture. So let me get back to the purport. A Vaishnava, on the other hand, is one, I'll read the sentence again. Those who have realized the absolute truth, in his supreme personal feature are called Vaishnavas. So we're on the path. Most of us are on the path as opposed to having realized, but that's okay. The seed and the mature stage of the seed that then produces flowers and other seeds, other flowers and fruits and seeds, it's part of realizing the absolute truth. The practice stage bears its fruit as long as we
stay within the boundaries and the guidelines of sadhana, it has the potential capacity to become mature. So that's a Vaishnava. At any stage, that's a Vaishnava. And then the Brahmana is not specifically, the distinction is, not specifically necessarily focused on the personal form, qualities, pastimes, and name of the Supreme Lord, but they're following that principle and focused on the absolute truth, Brahman. And that's a Brahmana. One who knows Brahman is a Brahmana. So, that's a detail. These are Vaishnavas, these are members of the Yadu dynasty coming to Prabhas and offering respect to the Brahmanas. No, they, the Yadu dynasty members, they're Kshatriyas, at least in terms of their function in society. And as they have attained the stage of perfection, and mentioned in the verse, the purport rather, these three things: respecting the Brahmanas, respecting the cows, and most importantly, being engaged in unalloyed service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That's the outer dynasty. Now here's a detail that I was thinking about when I was reading the verse and thinking of giving this morning's class. Very similar, not identical, but very similar to Lord Ramachandra's appearance in Krishna's appearance. Both of them, something very similar happened. That is, demigods went to the abode of Lord Vishnu and appealed to him, help. In the case of Ravana, it was universal terrorist. He's terrorizing all of the demigods in the whole universe. Help. So Vishnu agreed to appear and do the needful. Vinashaya chaduskritam. And he also gave a directive to the demigods, specifically, please appear on earth in a form that Ravana doesn't have a benediction that he can't be killed by. In other words, they appeared as Vanaras, many of them, or other beings, but each of those that you produce offspring, an expansion of yourselves should appear, and they should have powers like yours. So the Vanaras, being sons of the demigods, they were in fact angsas, or invested with the power of those demigods within their form. They weren't like, say, Hanuman. He's not Vayu, he is an angsa of Vayu, etc. Vali, Sugriva, etc. Their personalities were invested with certain power or potency. Because I find it interesting. Under the order of Vishnu, the demigods can also expand. And when they expand, according to the acharyas that have commented on this particular section of Ramayana, it's an angsa of the demigod. So demigods can expand themselves under the order of Vishnu. But the expansion is not like an identical replica of the demigod. It's an angsa of that demigod under the order of Vishnu to do so. Similarly, when the demigods went to the shore of the Milk Ocean and made the appeal, Earth is overburdened, too many demoniac kings, help to Brahma, he indicated, I will come, please conform the other demigods. They should expand themselves and appear on earth. So, to assist me in my pastime, to participate, to enjoy being a participant in his pastimes. So, many of the Lord's associates were those persons. No, previous it's mentioned that they're sadhana siddhas. But they're also, an understanding is, they're angsas of demigods. The demigods didn't leave their post vacant, say, out to lunch, you know, back after Krishna finishes his pastimes. In expansion of themselves, were manifest to assist Krishna in his pastime, for them to enjoy participating in Krishna's pastimes. And then that was their appearance, and then there was the disappearance. So this is a description of their disappearance. So they can then, after the Prabhas big mess, the fratricidal war, the living entity returned back to the place where they came from. The various devas and the angsa of those devas returned back to the deva from which they have come. They returned to their respective places in the heavenly kingdom. At least that's an explanation that I've read, so it's very nice. So all of this is taking place on many levels. One of the levels, as we discussed yesterday, is with one thing, Krishna's accomplishing many things. And he's teaching how a perfected soul behaves in relation to cows, brahmanas, and Vishnu, as in devotion to Vishnu. That's the perfected soul, that's the target, or the symptoms. There's other ways of describing the symptoms of a perfected soul, but that's found here. And they did it perfectly. Then comes this statement that comes at the very end of the purport. All of this, the curse of the brahmanas, it wasn't the elders, it was their offspring. So the behavior of the children and grandchildren of the Yadu dynasty, or even Krishna's children, had an impact. But it was all orchestrated by the internal potency. All orchestrated by the internal potency. I was pausing thinking, we're not qualified like that. So we do something stupid or offensive. It's not, oh, the internal potency induced me to do this stupid thing. Sorry, but that doesn't work. We don't do stupid things. But if someone is a pure devotee and there's some mishap, that's the cause. It's induced by it happens again and again in the Bhagavatam. I can give examples, but it happens again and again. When something happens that's unbecoming or out of character of a perfected soul. We've been discussing during this visit, the Sikha Goswamis. And there's a really nice example of, we mentioned it yesterday, but it's in my mind, that this perceived offense by Rupa Goswami. And Rupa Goswami he's out of this world. He's not an offensive person, yet there is a perceived offense that then resulted in his meditation on Krishna, Radha Krishna Leela, being interrupted. So what to speak of the rest of us? And it was made correct just by his going to the person who he felt that Rupa Goswami had offended him, or was laughing at him when he was just walking awkwardly. Anyway, a perceived offense can be grave, what to speak of regular offense. And the way the Prabhupada ends the purport is, I think, how I'm going to end the morning class. Their being cursed by the Brahmanas, sages, was only by the desire of the Lord The whole incident was a warning to all concerned that no one should behave lightly. No one should behave lightly with Brahmanas or Vaishnavas. Now, in this case, the Brahmanas cursed. I mentioned this yesterday. The Brahmanas cursed the whole Yadu dynasty for some behavior of Samba and his friends. Boys. And just being playful boys. Spoofing on elevated Brahmanas. And they didn't take it lightly. I mean, they could have. Why not be tolerant in this tongue satiksha sabharata? Why'd you get ticked off at these little boys that did something silly and induced by the internal potency? Why? To give this warning that we should not be take matters dealing with Brahmanas and Vaishnavas lightly. So I got on my soapbox yesterday, and I'm not going to do it again, about be very careful about sadhu ninda or Vaishnava parad. Be very careful, because it's really serious business. There's so many specific references. It's not like you have to be Durvasa Muni and try to kill Maharaj Ambarish by your mystic powers or something. So many examples in scripture. Be very careful about this matter. But, I mean, I'm emphasizing it again because it's the section, it's Prabhas, you know, calamity that arose, and then their behavior next, coming up soon, is they're drinking white rice wine. Now, maybe some of you have heard Prabhupada's explanation about how to make wine. I was very surprised to hear Prabhupada describing it, but, you know, rice goes into a pot and it sits for some days and it ferments and then it's distilled and it becomes rice wine and it becomes intoxicating. So any poor man can do that. They can make rice wine. I guess people would do that. There's probably distilleries that make it better or whatever. So, but, you know, ABC, it's very simple. So how to not have a culture that's like that? How to help people get free from that inclination for tamagun? How to lift people from the tamagun tendency and, you know, look around billboards and how people conduct their lives, and there's a lot of tamagun. A little pause, I was thinking of waiting to get picked up from the airport coming here to Alachua, and there was a lady that had two cigarettes lit. She was just doing puffing on one and then puffing on the other and puffing on one and puffing on the other. And then her boyfriend came along and he took her cigarette to light up his cigarette, so there's three cigarettes going, and it was outside the building. It was within the law, but it was, wow. Well, yeah, they had a flight, so they were like suffocating because they couldn't have their cigarettes. So they made up for it by two cigarettes at a time. Anyway, we're in a place, and it doesn't get better, it gets worse as Kali Yuga progresses. So what's the cure? What's the remedy for that infatuation or the impelling force of tamagun and rajagun is getting worse and worse? It's not just fiction, it's just observable. It's, you know, that my thought on this point, it is something similar to what can we do to help all the cows that are being slaughtered all over the world to not be slaughtered and be protected instead. It's just promote bhakti, help people become bhaktas. Now, how many bhaktas we know? It's the top of the mountain. It's not the base of the mountain or the pyramid. It's very few. But those who are few, if they become genuine, small thing, but if they become genuine, that can have an uplifting effect on the whole society. It's back to this whole discussion of Brahminical culture. It's not of all the population of the world that we should make many, many, many Brahmanas. We should make many, many Vaishnavas. And those who are Vaishnavas may have an occupation that's this, that, and the other thing. And that's quite okay. They're Vaishnavas. And that Vaishnava power can uplift all the others who are Vaishyas and Shudras and etc., etc. It's infectious, just as the modes of nature are infectious. The bhakti power is also infectious, and it has a way of lifting. It's the whole principle of Varnashram and Vaishnav culture. Varnashram is there must be qualified brahmanas. And what are those brahmanas? They're to be maintained, same as what we've just been reading. They're to be maintained, and as they're maintained, they're to be focused on the upliftment of society. And a society needs upliftment. Supposing the brahmanas don't do that, then everything goes down. So suppose we don't want to see things go down, we want to see then perform the function of brahmana, Vaishnava. And so, just a little pitch here, we have a Christmas marathon just around the corner. And some persons have already started. And that's one very significant principle by propagating Krishna consciousness through increasing book distribution, engaging in it and increasing it, which was what our founder Acharya wanted to do, and that was his strategy. It's a specific succession strategy, but it's our founder Acharya's strategy drawn from disciplic succession to write and distribute this knowledge. Of course, it sure helps if we read the books along with distributing the books. Do both, but the distribution of the books is not, it is required in addition to the reading the books and teaching the books, etc. So that's a little advertisement for the Christmas marathon or book distribution marathon. It's important for our duties as Vaishnavas, for the rest of society that's going down. And it's a great opportunity. So let's see if there's some discussion. Looking at the clock, we have 10, 12 minutes. Yes?
I was reflecting
four Kumaras with Jai Bijai. And I remember Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur gave the comment that when in the spiritual world with the eternal associate, even if there is some offense, Krishna personally takes responsibility on that. The devotee doesn't have to go through any suffering. And in Four Kumaras' case, Narayan actually expressed that too, that it's supposed to happen. I am behind it. So he took that responsibility. So in Dwarka Vasis, in one sense, why they should go through any?
Who?
This,
you and me, or Jai and Vijay?
No, these Jadavas.
The Jadavas?
Yeah.
Oh, Krishna was going to send them back to where they came from. Why not? That's not. Krishna was negligent. He wasn't protecting. He made a promise that he went against. He broke his promise. He was acting out of care. It was within care. He was sending them. but giving up, you know, some teachings along with, you know, the many layers of things at the same time. It's easy. You can discern that which is easy. It's easy. It was mercy to send them back where they came from, because his pastimes, I mean, it's coming up in the next chapter. You know, Krishna then sent, he himself left in the way that he left. But he was first making the arrangement that they could depart and return to where they came. They said they came to assist him, and now they're going to go back. And so he's teaching a lesson, don't mess with brahmanas. There's consequences. It's fine. Not negligence. There's a hand up back here.
Vibhor Maharaj, when Vidura came, I mean, Yamaraj came as Vidura.
Say it again?
When Yamaraj came as Vidura,
yeah,
his position was replaced by Aryama, or no, somebody else, until Vidura goes back.
Yes.
But you were saying that sometimes the demigods, when they came to help Lord Ramachandra,
the key word is sometimes.
Yeah. I mean, it sometimes stated a portion of the demigod.
Yes.
You know, like...
That was this case, and the Vidura, Yamaraj becomes Vidura case, his post was vacated and someone occupied his post until he returned. You can have two models, you don't have to have one. And Krishna does things the way Krishna wants to do things. And he's not, you know, he's not restricted by, he does it this way this time, he can't do it a different way another time. I see some hand over here, some enthusiastic hand. Would you like the microphone? Or you have a loud voice? Okay, here comes the microphone.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. In book distribution, we have a lot of problems with the vegan way of thinking, because they stress that if we continue drinking milk, we're encouraging slaughter of cows. But we are not going to stop drinking milk because it's good for us. Krishna wants to be offered milk. And so how do we make a...
There's two statements. How do we do this one or that one is your question?
No, my question is how do we explain to them, because not most of us, we cannot have access to hamsa.
They can't, wait a minute, they can't have... How do we explain to them that they cannot what?
No, we cannot have access to hamsa milk, most of our temples, because we don't have farms that protects our cows.
Oh.
And we don't have access to milk that is purified by the fact that the cows that we're getting it from are being killed.
So if somebody asks you a question, my dear friend, you want me to read this book, I hear you speak about cow protection, there's no cows to protect around here. What do I do? Is that what your question is?
No, is that we don't have farms, enough farms to...
We don't have enough farms, that's your point. What's she saying?
If I understand correctly, how do we explain to a vegan proponent, you know, to take the book? We do drink milk, you know, so how do we explain to them around this vegan attitude?
Around the vegan attitude?
The vegan theory.
They say that if we drink milk, we're supporting cow slaughter because it's part of the economic system.
Yeah. So, here's our founder Acharya on his Vyasa sign. And before there were farms, he didn't tell us, don't drink milk, because it supports the slaughter of cows. In time, he encouraged, not one place, but all over the world, he encouraged, have cow protection somehow. I mean, where Karunath comes from, there is a farm that the ISKCON Silicon Valley, ISV temple, they don't own a farm, but there's somebody that has a cow, a couple of cows and a calf, and the cow gives milk and the milk goes to the temple, not for the purpose of, you know, making money, it's for the purpose of providing the temple with a cow, with cow's milk, it's protected cow's milk. So each place may have their own arrangement. You know, I can describe, for example, here's a for example. Once upon a time, Prabhupada said there's each successful urban temple should have a farm. So I remember very clearly. We got together, Bali Mardan was our GBC, and we raised the money, we bought a farm. And then Prabhupada left, and it was known as the New York farm, but it was too far away. Too far away. And so we stopped getting milk from the farm because it was too far away. Time passed, and now there's new leadership at the farm, and they have a license that they can transport milk across state borders, and they supply milk for, you know, six centers on the East Coast. And the temples take turns. This week you go, next week another one goes, and so it's legal, and it's transported, and they got a lot of cows. So it was, what was the New York farm is now Gita Nagari, and is supplying. So figure it out. Leaders that have communities that want to follow what's in Prabhupada's books, they can take milk from protected cows, and then you're in keeping. So supposing there's somebody that says, harumph, humbug, or something like that. You know, I'm not going to take milk even from protected cows. You know, that's their choice. But that's not a necessity. I want to be vegan because. I know some people like that. But, you know, that's their choice. We don't support... You get the idea. There's a way to work it. And leaders find ways to do things. Just yesterday morning, I was listening to Prabhupada. He's in Hyderabad. They had a farm, and Prabhupada was on their case. I won't say the name of the person, but he was on his case. You know, take care of the cows and take milk only from the protected cows. And then he was saying more about growing vegetables and how simple it is. And so, Hyderabad's a big city, but they had a farm. They have a farm still today, and that's where they get their milk. Now, you want to see something more?
Well, it's just a reflection about their way of thinking. I was thinking that even if you don't drink the milk, they will kill the cows even more, because if you don't take the milk, then they have nothing to do with the cows, so they're going to kill it. The vegan.
I didn't get it. Somebody get it? Did you get it?
Well, that having cows that drink milk is part of how we revere cows and want to protect them.
Yeah.
If you don't drink milk, then people will not respect cows anyway. They'll just think, oh, there's some useless animal.
Okay. So, drink milk. I see it's 9 o'clock. You got the mic. You get the last question. Not only the mic.
One thing you could say.
I was waiting for you. CTD, you always have the, like, really thought provoking questions, challenging, thought provoking questions. I'm ready. I've got my spine straight. And.
No, it's not for you. I'm coming for you.
I'm ready.
One thing you could say is we're protecting the cow's spiritual life because we're taking the milk and offering it to Krishna.
I mean, you know. I mean, you can argue tremendously, but we're offering you milk to Krishna. What do you want? You know, we get spiritual benefit. We're offering that.
Great. Just as the apple tree gets spiritual benefit by taking the apples from the apple tree and offering to Krishna.
Yep.
You're happy. You're not just satisfied.
Srila Prabhupada ki, Grantarajimad Bhagavatam ki, Gaur Pimanandi.